right? It's all over the place, all right? And so I'm getting stuff from people I don't even know, I don't even want, all right? So that's their vision. And because they have these vision statements, their mission is to meet that vision statement, and they do that very well. Now, lest you think that you know, what our conversation here this morning is going to be more business and corporate-oriented versus biblical-oriented, I want to remind you that even Jesus had a vision statement. Jesus had a vision statement. So in Luke chapter 5, there's this instance where Levi made Jesus a great feast in his house. He invited Jesus in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at a table with them. And the Pharisees, the religious Jewish leaders, and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Because those who are righteous should not eat with those who are sinners. You don't do that." And Jesus overhears us in verse 31. He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's Jesus' vision statement right there. Jesus says, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." It answers the question, why are you eating with sinners and tax collectors? Because that's my vision. Jesus had a mission to support that vision. He details how he will call sinners to repentance. Luke chapter 4, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and liberty to those who are being oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." With this mission statement, Jesus is saying, this is how I will achieve my vision. Let's put it this way, put it together. Next slide. "I have come to call sinners to repent." That's his vision statement. And he says, this is how I'm going to do it. And if you read the Gospels, this is what he does. Jesus had a vision statement and mission to support that vision statement, right? If it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us, right? Your vision and mission helps you choose what's important in life and what you should do with all these decisions that you need to make. Your direction determines your decisions. So how you spend your time, your energy, your resources, because we know that all those things are limited. So how will you spend those? How will you exercise those? It helps you determine your relationships, what relationships you should have, what relationships you should be wary of. Okay? It helps you determine your attitudes, how you think about certain things. It forces you to learn about issues and concerns because it goes in that direction of your vision. Vision is about one day. One day it's out there. One day I see it. One day I'll be there. Mission is about every day. Every day I'm taking these steps to get to that one day. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Thank you. Now, I think everyone should have a personal vision statement. I have a personal vision statement. I wish I had done this when I was much younger because, again, I just wasted a lot of time. All my main goal was fun, friends, and finances. Okay, and that's all I strived for in my life for many years. Again, I have a vision statement, and I don't know if you'll like it or not because you're a part of it, okay? My vision statement is this: to lead my family and my church to be martyrs for Jesus Christ. To lead my family and my church to be martyrs for Jesus Christ. Now, I've thought long and hard about this and what this means and what this entails of me and how I live my life. So, but it encompasses and embraces my core identity, who I am. I'm a Christian, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm a pastor. All about who I am is in this statement, in this single statement. I have this envisioned future in mind, that one day picture in my mind. It's about people who love Jesus so much. They're willing to give up everything. They're willing to die for Jesus. And so, you know, I see God-centered people, radically obedient people, people who see the worth and the beauty of Jesus in all of life. That's my desire. That's the direction I'm going in. Right? My mission is done in many different ways, how I try to achieve that. I'm not perfect in it by any means, okay? But I have a direction, and I know decisions I need to make to get to that destination. So there are things I do or I won't do with my family. So for 2 summers running, I've taken my entire family to an overseas missions trip. My daughter, when she went, she was 8, and my son was 12 at the time, 13 at the time. They were young, okay? But intentionally, I wanted them to go. I wanted them to experience missions. Not just, hey, we're going to go overseas on a trip, you need a passport, right? It's very intentional, right? So my statement informs how I think about ministry, how I think about church, how I think about leadership, all these different things. In my own life, I want to be free from the love of money and the love of praise of men. I want to make sure that I try to be as pure as possible. Again, I'm not perfect in all these things, but I'm trying, and I know where I want to go, and I'm trying to get there. Now, you may not like my vision statement, because it involves you and dying, and not many people want to die. And so maybe you say, why can't it be your mission statement be, you want to grow people like Jesus? Well, you have to die for Jesus. Why can't your mission statement be, we just want to evangelize the entire world? Well, you have to die for Jesus to do that. Why can't your mission statement be, we want to give as much money to the church as possible? Well, we got to die to Jesus to accomplish that. Now, my vision statement, again, I said it encompasses who I am. I'm a Christian. So my vision statement embraces one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It comes from Galatians 2:20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. There's a lot of dying going on there, okay? The next half of it says, then life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So this is my favorite verse, and there's reasons for it. It talks about the gospel message there. It talks about dying to myself and living for Christ. So martyrdom and dying for Christ are huge themes in Scripture. So let me just pull out a couple of verses. Luke 9, 23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Cross, an instrument of death. Whoever saves his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Colossians 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Biblical. Straight on. Okay? You should develop a personal mission statement yourself. I believe it. Okay, I'm not talking about setting goals. I'm not talking about, one day I want to get married, one day I want to have kids, one day I want to own my own house. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, why are you here on earth? Is it just to breathe the air and to use up the worldly resources until the day you die? Why are you here on earth? So your personal vision statement should answer questions like, what direction is my life heading? Do I have a direction in life? Right? If you're going somewhere that you don't know how to get there, you punch in Google Maps or your GPS or something, then this is my destination. It answers the question, what's my trajectory of my life? If I stood here today and I just let my life go the way it's continuing to go, where would I land? It answers the question, what is my one day destination and how will I get there? So how do you start? How do you start? Maybe some suggestions here. Favorite Bible verse? Okay. So if you have a favorite Bible verse, you should consider why it's your favorite Bible verse. All right. So, for example, if it's Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Why do you like that Bible verse? Why is it so meaningful for you? All right. If it's the Great Commission, Matthew 28, why is making disciples so important that this is your favorite Bible verse? If you've got one, consider why you have it and why it's important to you. And what meaning it has to you. Passions. What kind of passions do you have? What issues or initiatives do you get really excited about? So, for example, do you get really excited about helping those who are needy, homeless, who are hungry, that going out and interacting with them and supporting organizations that help these people? Does that get you really excited? How about education and teaching? It's amazing how many teachers and people we have in education in this single congregation. Does that really get you excited about where God has placed you? Are you in business or finance? How can you leverage that for getting to a destination for God's kingdom? How about mentoring new Christians in their faith? If they're new Christians and they don't know much about what it means to live for Jesus, does that get you really excited about helping someone grow in that way? You know, in the same way, talking about passions, what issues or initiatives really anger you? What do you get really angry about that it's just not right? I mean, my favorite team, St. Louis Cardinals, are not in the playoffs where they lost. That got me angry, but not as angry as issues that are really important in life. I just read a story recently where an International Justice Mission, IJM, rescued five girls in the Philippines. And when I say girls, I mean girls. These are like 9 to 12 or 13-year-old girls who are being forced by pornographers, pimps, to do sexual acts in front of a camera so that it can be broadcast across the world. And I just read stories like this, and it angers me. It gets me really upset. What angers you, right? Do you get angry over inequality and disparity in our world, you know, whether it's economic or gender or political? Those sorts of things should fuel and inform your vision statement. Right? What about the position that you're in? I mentioned I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor. You know, what about you? What's your job? What's your career path? Are you a student? What opportunities does that afford you? You know, don't discount the routine of daily life. You know, if you're at your job or school studying for 8 or 10 hours, don't say, okay, after I leave this place, then I'm going to start ministry or I'm going to live out my vision. No, that's part of your life right there. And figure out what that means, why God has placed you there. If you're a coach on your kid's sports team, you know, yeah, you're coaching the children, but, you know, you have dozens of parents standing behind you too. Does that afford you any opportunities to inform your vision statement? Do you play sports, your teammates, or in your class, your classmates? All these different things. So, you know, you just think about who am I and where has God placed me? How about people in your life? People that you regularly interact with. So can you influence or affect change in their lives? Whether they might be customers, they might be family members, they might be fellow students, teammates, coworkers. You know, just think about this. And you know, I'm a visual guy, and you know, most guys are visual. But you know, if you come into my office, I have this huge whiteboard. And I love drawing on my whiteboard, and so it helps me because I can visualize things. And so maybe a suggestion for you is to take a whiteboard or a big piece of paper and start listing things about, you know, your favorite Bible verse, your passions, the people that you interact with, the position of who you are, and start listing them and see what kind of comes out of that jumble of words and pictures that's on your wall. And, you know, if you get stuck somewhere, ask one of your close friends to come in and say, well, what do you think? You know, what do I get really excited about? Have them come in and tell you, right? Because you may have a little bit of a blind spot because you think, oh, this is what I do all the time. But they say, you know, I really like that of you when you do this because you get really excited for this, you know? And so just work on it, okay? and so as you think about these different components that go into a vision statement, how do you start to formulate that? So next slide, please. The way to think about that is these simple steps are no more than a single sentence long. You have something that's more than a sentence long because of our short attention span or our inability to memorize things that are very long. It'll be very difficult for you, right? I do this occasionally, and it's embarrassing, but you know, can anybody give us our church vision statement? No, because you don't know where it is, although it's on front of your bulletin every week, and it's multiple sentences, all right? So a single sentence that's easily understood by a 12-year-old. So I think that's, you know, I thought, gosh, you know, do I want a 12-year-old trying to explain stuff to the 12-year-old? You know, if a 12-year-old can understand it, then they can grasp the meaning of it. And that's a good statement. Right? Able to recite it by memory, a unique description of who you are in Christ, right? Why are you here for God's kingdom? It's a statement that creates priorities. It's a statement that produces a plan of action, right? Mine is to lead my church, my family, and my church to be martyrs for Jesus Christ. I can remember that. It's Christ-centered. I know what I need to do. I know my end picture. Okay? Now, you may go through many, many iterations. Once you have this big thing on this whiteboard, a big piece of paper, you may go through many, many iterations about, you know, how to make the statement. And that's actually okay, iterations and revisions, because that helps you to think more clearly about it, have clarity about the statement, to whittle it down to be concise. And because you worked on it so hard, you're committed to it. And so, again, you're not going to have it overnight. I doubt, I'd be really surprised if you can do it at one sitting. And for you to come up with some pithy saying, I mean, you can steal mine, but it won't apply to you, right? So it needs to be personal to you. Statement number six, a statement that produces a plan of action. That plan of action is your mission, right? You have the big vision, produces a plan of action, that's your mission, right? So what do you need to do to achieve your vision, right? It should sort of incite those sort of questions. So a mission, you know, you start thinking about what needs to change? What needs to change? Do my activities need to change? Do my attitudes need to change? Does my lifestyle need to change for me to achieve my vision? In my mission, what do I need to start doing? Or what do I need to stop doing? What resources will you need? If you can't get more resources, what do you do with the allocation of your current resources? So a good vision statement will start asking those questions, right? A good vision statement does not encompass everything that you will do. That's what your mission statement is for. If you're in this room and you're living and breathing, you can write a mission statement, a vision statement, and you ought to, okay? It's not only for older people. Sometimes, you know, you younger people think, yeah, I'm so young, I got my whole life ahead of me, and, you know, I don't need to do this right now. Not true. A vision statement is not only for younger people. You older people say, oh, I've lived my entire life, I only have, you know, just a few more years to go. That's not true, right? You have a lot of time, valuable time left on earth. It's not just for people who are leaders. Anybody and everyone should embrace a mission statement. Again, I wish that someone had told me and sat me down and said, do this, Jack, because, you know, I see you wasting a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of resources, and you're not going anywhere. I wish someone had done that for me years and years ago. Your vision statement may change over time, and that's okay. If you ask me in 7 or 8, 10 years, I may have a different mission statement, a vision statement. That's okay, because your life stage may change, your priorities may change, your passions may change. That's okay, right? But you had to have some direction to head towards. But you should have one now. Sometimes people think, oh, you know, I'm single. When I get married, I'll write my vision statement. Or you don't have a job. When I have a job, then I'll write my vision statement. Don't need to. You can write it now. Right? You should do it now. If you wait, then you're wasting valuable time. You're wasting valuable time. If you don't have a vision and direction for which to go in your life, you'll waste time. Now, I'm not talking about weeks. I'm not talking about months. It could be years that you're wasting. And you know, if you waste valuable time, you cannot get it back. You cannot get it back. Scripture tells us about our life on earth. Psalm 39 says, O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. You know, if you're lucky, I mean, we are lucky to live in America, great medical system, but you know, live 60, 80, 90 years, in the bigger scheme of history, it's a wisp of vapor. It's nothing. Ephesians 5 tells us, look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. All right? We are told in Scripture, we only have a short time here, and we are exhorted in Scripture to make the best use of our time. So what would happen if you went home, worked on your personal vision statement? What would happen? Well, I think, you know, instead of feeling as if your life is sort of wandering in different directions, different ways, your energy, your time, your resources would be laser focused. You would say, should I spend money on this? No, because that doesn't help me achieve my vision. Should I spend my time and energy on that? No, because that's wasting my time. I need to go in this direction. Right? Your life will just be more defined in that way. There'll be satisfaction in your efforts. Again, you know, I'm not perfect in my mission as I seek to carry out towards my vision, but there's a sense of satisfaction that, yeah, I know where I'm going. I know where I need to get to. And it gives you deeper purpose and meaning. So there's a deep joy that you'll have because you're living for this deeper God-centered purpose in your life. Like, yeah, I get it. Right? What would happen to us as a church if everyone wrote a vision statement that encompassed who we are as God's people, that was God-centered? Well, I think that would be very honoring to God, and I think God would send the Holy Spirit and bless us in so many ways. There would be a sense of revival and renewal in the life of the church because we're all focused upon bringing glory to God. And the community that we have would be filled with joy and fellowship because we know that our lives are purposeful, and as a church, our lives are purposeful. And I think we'll just grow in numbers because many will come to know who Jesus Christ is when they see our lives being lived for a purpose. And they'll ask, and we will respond, tell them about Jesus. So you as an individual, your mission and your vision and mission affects you personally. But us together, it affects us corporately as a church. It does. Your direction determines your destination. Your direction determines your destination. It's important. Again, I said if Jesus had one, then you know we should strive to have one also, right? That we should think about our vision and mission statements that support that. It's not a trivial exercise. It is not unimportant. It is not something to be ignored. So I don't want you to look back on your years and say, I wasted a lot of time. Actually, I don't even want you to look back on yesterday and say, I wasted yesterday. I did nothing. Really? So think about that. You cannot get that time back. Now, you can blow me off and not do it and say, oh, this is one of those silly exercises that Pastor Jack wants us to do that I'm not going to do. But, you know, it will be your loss and a loss for the church and God's kingdom. And I think that's how serious we should think about our lives and the purpose we have here on earth. So I want to help you. I got a big whiteboard in my office, and I can give you markers, and we sit down and talk through it and make lists and pictures and drawings and circles and arrows and all of those sorts of things that I love to do. I would love to be able to sit down and talk with you. If you want to take me out for lunch and dinner and talk about it over a meal, I have lots of places where I'd love to eat. I can give you a lot of suggestions about that, okay? But I think it's so important that that you start thinking about it. When Monday comes, are you just going to hit repeat? Tuesday comes, repeat, repeat. Are you going somewhere? Or are you going in circles? Let me pray for us. God, we come before you, and we are so thankful that as you have given us life here on earth, that you knew us even before we were in our mother's womb, and that you have purposed our lives for something great. So I pray for each person in this room that you would help them to think deeply and clearly about why they're here and give them a vision for their lives as it affects your kingdom, Father. I pray that would give them great joy and you great honor. In Jesus' name.